Well, good morning. Good to be with you this morning, Kilrae. Always good to come up. And it's only a spin up the road for me anyway, so it's good to be with you today. It's always good to renew fellowship with the people of God. And it's always a pleasure, of course, to come up for Philip. And for Esther too. See her hands full in the back seat there, but she's great, isn't it? Good. So good to be with you. Trust that the Lord continues to bless and Kilrae. Remember the gospel meeting tonight. Our brother, he's a good young preacher. His dad's a good preacher. Nigel and Joshua's coming up behind him, and it's great just to see these young men coming through and just try and get others in. Pray that the Lord will bless in salvation even tonight. We've already been in the Psalms this morning, and I want to go back to the Psalms, to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, I was here in September. Can't believe that's 6 months ago. She come one night giving my life story, and I referred to a verse here, and just sort of come back to me again when I was just thinking about the meeting here through the week and what I'd speak on. I actually went back on the it's not the video now, sure, it's not the internet, just to see, and I referred to one verse, and just want to read a few verses at the beginning of Psalm 40 this morning, just for our meditation, before we come around the table of the Lord today. So Psalm 40, chapter, or verse 1. Let's read it just thoughtfully this morning, let's read it carefully. Let's think about every word as we just read the first 5 verses, 6 verses or so. The psalmist said this. It's a psalm of David, and it's to the chief musician, and it's a praise for answered prayer. And in verse 1 he says this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto your God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside delays. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned or recounted, as the word, up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Amen. And the Lord will bless his word to us this morning. Let us come before him with our Bibles open today. Our Father, we thank you this morning for these lovely hymns of praise that have reminded us already of the Saviour today. Thank you, O God, for drawing our thoughts already to Calvary with this lovely hymn of Man of Sorrows, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Saviour. Thank you for these lovely words that we have read already this morning from this great psalm. And O God, we pray that thou wouldst bless our meditation upon them for a few moments just now. We pray as we search in the Scriptures that thou wouldst give us the finest of the wheat today. We pray that thou wouldst speak, O God, for thy children are listening this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Psalms were Israel's hymn book, and there's some great and lovely Psalms in our Bible. There's 150 of them. And they tell us of the worship of God and the work of God and the word from God. so many ways to study them. We can think about their titles, we can think about their timing, we can think about their different types, we can think about their testimony, we can think about the themes of the psalm. There's devotional psalms, there's messianic psalms, there's psalms of ascent as the children of Israel headed into Jerusalem. When you're heading to Jerusalem, the only way to go to Jerusalem is up, is 2,500 feet above sea level. And so the only way you go to Jerusalem is up. And as he ascended to Jerusalem, to this capital city on the great day of the feast, they would have sung some of these great psalms, especially like a Psalm 121 and a family of psalms in round about that Psalm 121 to Psalm 130 roughly. There's devotional psalms and there's so many different ways to look at them. But this is a great psalm, Psalm 40. And when you think about some of the psalms, you think about Psalm 23, probably the greatest and best known psalm. And of course, it's sung at funerals, it's sung at weddings, it's at different occasions, it's quoted and it's read. And memorized, thinking about it like this, I suppose it's 3,500 years old now. When we were wee lads, we used to watch a programme on the TV, Top of the Pops. My dad was never that pleased when it was on, but anyway, he used to watch it. And he wanted to see who was number one, who was a chart topper. And I was just thinking about this. There's a man called Brian Adams, and he wrote a song, "Everything I do it for you." And it was used in the Hollywood film Robin Hood. And in 1992, it spent 16 weeks at number one. But you never hear it sung now, or very seldom. And so David wrote these psalms 3,500 years ago. And if you'll allow me to say it, they're still top of the pops, really, aren't they? They're still at the top of the charts. And David wrote 90, at least, of the 150 psalms in the Bible. And you know, I believe that maybe that was only the start of them. I suppose heaven itself will reveal to us how many psalms David really did write. But certainly out of the 150 in our Bible, there's at least 90 of them that David wrote. His name's on many of them. And you know what gives me great encouragement when I think of David and the great character of David in the Bible, when you think that he was just the shepherd boy of Bethlehem. And God took the shepherd boy of Bethlehem and put him onto the throne in Jerusalem. And that encourages me, you know, to think that God had his eye on just this ordinary boy. Now, of course, he turned out to be extraordinary. But there was something in the heart of David. In fact, God said that he was a man after God's own heart, my own heart. And you remember that when he came in front of Samuel the prophet, how those big fellas, one by one, Jesse's sons, passed in front of Samuel the prophet. And every time Samuel saw one of these big fellas coming, he said, "Surely this is God's anointed. Surely this is God anointed." And it wasn't, and it wasn't, and it wasn't. And then Samuel said to Jesse, "Have you any more sons?" He says, "Well, it's just David." But Jesse, it was almost like Jesse said he was sort of insignificant. He was the youngest. And he was out on the hillside, and he was just minding a few sheep. And perhaps his father thought he was so significant, insignificant, that he didn't even bring him into the house when the prophet was coming. But he was sent for, and you remember he came in, and the Bible tells us that he was ruddy and was of a fair countenance. He was a handsome lad. An eastern sun had tanned him. He was ruddy. And as soon as Samuel seen him, God says, "That's my man. That's my man." You see, men look on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. There's something in the heart of David that God has seen. Remember Noah? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And there's not much known, perhaps, about this particular psalm and this particular psalm's background. Nevertheless, some of the Psalms can be connected to David, different parts of David's life. But there's no particular background to Psalm 40. Nevertheless, it was obviously written in a time of great distress in David's life, a time of great difficulty, and a time of great trial. And maybe that's you this morning in Kerry. We were praying in the prayer meeting this morning how God knows every heart. We don't know your heart. And we don't know the circumstances. I certainly don't know. Maybe some of the brethren here do. But certainly the circumstances that perhaps you find yourself in at the minute, I certainly don't know. And perhaps you're in a great period of distress and a great period of difficulty in your life. Maybe it's a family problem. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a health problem. But as David went through this trial that is jumping out at us in Psalm chapter 40, he realizes within it all that God is a good God. He realized the goodness of God to him in his life. And David realized that even in the trials and the difficulties of life, that they need to give thanks to the Lord. You need to give thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his love endures forever. And so this great psalm comes on to the pages of Scripture, and we just want to look at it very quickly and specifically this morning. I want you to think, first of all, in verse 1 of the request, very simply. I want you to think about the request. Because David said that he waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. David's request. David said, I, let's begin with the first word, I. It was me, myself, personally, I. Then he said that he waited patiently. Waited patiently. Now, my old grandma, I always go back to my old grandmother, who was a great godly woman, and she used to say to me, son, when you're reading the Bible, and when you're reading a verse, she says, read it, and then read it again, and then read it again, and then read it again. She used to say, look at every full stop, look at every comma, look at every word, because they're all there for a reason. And so you'll notice that David didn't say, I patiently waited for the Lord. He said, or I was patient. He said, I waited patiently. There's a bit of beef around that, isn't it? You see, you can wait, and then you can wait patiently. Now, it's not easy being patient. And if I asked you this morning to put your hand up, who was patient? I can't see too many hands going up. And so, someone said that patient is not the ability to wait, but how you act when you're waiting. It's good, isn't it? Patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act when you're waiting. Someone said they heard of Gay praying one night, and he said, Lord, give me patience and give me it quickly, please. And so, you see, patience is a wonderful thing. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. It's sometimes found in a woman, but never in a man. Patience. 10 minutes in the doctor's surgery. I don't go to it very often, thank you. But when you go into our doctors in High Street and Lurgan, they have one of these fancy boards up. And you sit in the waiting area. And there's about 4 doctors in it. And you go and you check in. And then you sit down and you watch this board. And then it dings. And your name comes up. And you're sitting waiting every time you see the ding or hear the ding. You're just really hoping it's your name. So 10 minutes in the doctor's surgery seems like an eternity, doesn't it? Or maybe for me, 10 or 15 seconds at a red light. And you're under pressure for time. And you should have been somewhere 10 minutes ago. And that 10 seconds at the red light sort of seems to be almost like the same as the 10 minutes in the doctor's surgery. maybe you's men are trying to get out and you have to wait on your wife getting ready. Doesn't happen in our house, of course. My wife's here, so. Or if you ever come off the motorway at Lurgan at the roundabout and head into Lurgan down what we call the Lough Road and heading towards William Street, there's a set of gates and the barrier comes down for the Belfast to Dublin train. And if I had maybe a £5 note for every time I had sat at those gates, they would really do your head in. And I thought sometimes maybe that if a bit of time, I would maybe sit down and write a poem or a song about sitting at the gates of learning. But anyway, that's for another time. But David waited patiently. He waited patiently for the Lord. Do you remember Jacob? He was an old twister, wasn't he? But he waited patiently. He worked for 7 years for no wages for Rachel. And his father-in-law gave him another woman. He gave him Leah. And such was Jacob's love for Rachel that he worked another 7 years. He worked for 14 years to wait on his bride. He waited patiently. It wasn't easy. 14 years of hard labour. But he waited. And I was thinking about Noah. Do you remember that man? God told him to build the ark. And 120 years, that man, he built the ark out of gopher wood. God gave him the measurements, the perfect boat, the perfect vessel. And for 120 years, that man built that ark. And he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached as he sawed the wood, he preached as he hammered the nails, and he preached for 120 years, and that one soul got saved. But he was patient, and he believed God. And maybe today you're praying for something. Maybe there's something in your heart, and maybe there's something in your mind, and you're specifically praying for it. Maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's a family member. Maybe you have someone in the family this morning, maybe it's a young person, maybe it's a teenager. And maybe when they go out on Friday night, the nights are long until they come home and you can't sleep till they come through the back door. And I know what it's like, and we know what it's like. And perhaps your heart is breaking and you're waiting patiently. Do you remember Daniel? Do you remember he prayed for 14 days and then God answered his prayer? And God said this to him. He says, I heard your prayer. Your prayer was heard in heaven on the first day. So why did God not tell him the answer on the first day? He prayed for 14 days. Daniel's patience. And he waited patiently. David said, he waited upon the Lord, to wait upon the Lord, to spend time in his presence, to pray. He waited patiently. Oftentimes when I think about this, I think about a big man, my dad. My dad and I used to preach a lot together. And we used to go way down the Arch Peninsula, way to the harbour town of Port of Oge. On a Sunday night, it was a wee gospel hall, and we used to go in and we used to preach there, and my dad still preaches there, and there was a big man, and he used to get up and he used to pray for his son, and the tears used to run down his face on a Sunday night before the gospel meeting. It would have broke your heart. He was a big fisherman himself, and he had a real heart and a real yearning that God would save his only son. And his son worked along with him on the fishing boat. And yet when the fishing boat was tied up on a Friday evening, the lad sort of went mad, went loose and went mad. And caused him a lot of problems, a lot of grief, a lot of bother. But this man just kept praying, just kept praying. And for years and years I listened to him. And he used to cry and he used to weep. Heartfelt tears for his son on a Sunday night. And many nights he didn't come to the meeting, and some nights he did. And then one night God really spoke to this young man. His mama put him a big box of sandwiches up. And they were in the fishing boats for 3 or 4 nights, days in a row. And one night in the middle of the night, in the middle of the Irish Sea somewhere, And he wanted to get a cup of tea, and he took the top off the lunchbox and to lift the sandwich, and his mommy had put him a wee track tucked in among the back of the sandwiches somewhere. And he lifted it out, and he'd read many of them before. And just as he read that night, the Spirit of God began to walk with him and bring conviction of sin. And they're sitting in the wheelhouse of the boat that night in the middle of the Irish Sea, come to know the Saviour. And so this morning, as we move on, wait patiently. If you're praying for something, keep praying. The Lord will answer your prayer. Ask and it shall be given unto thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Wait patiently. The request. You notice the result, because when David waited patiently for the Lord, comma, he inclined unto me, and then heard my cry. So when David waited patiently for the Lord heard him. Verse says that. He heard his cry. And he inclined unto him. Now, to incline means to lean towards. When you're listening to someone, sometimes you incline on them, sometimes your hearing's not very good, and sometimes you sort of lean towards them a little bit, and that's to incline. Isn't it amazing to think that the God of heaven listens to a panting heart of the saved, and the sinner, by the way. And when he listens to your prayer, he inclines. The God of heaven inclines unto us. And he hears our prayer. Hears our request. He hears us. Isn't it amazing to think? You know, I always am amazed by how God works in the heart of a woman sometimes. One of our wee grandsons was staying with us one night this week, and my wife was in and out of bed two or three times because she heard him away in the back room. I never heard him, of course. And when you think about the rain and the wind beating off the window on a winter's night, and how a mother can sleep peacefully in her bed, and then away at the end of the hall in a wee cot somewhere, there's a wee infant, maybe just a few weeks old or something like that, and a wee whimper, and the mother can hear, even though it's wind and rain and thunder and lightning outside, she can hear the whimper of the child and go down. Such is her heart. But isn't it just so amazing to think that the God of heaven can hear us as children when we wait patiently for him, and when we cry from a panting heart, he inclines on us and he hears our cry. You see, we have a God this morning who answers prayer. We have a prayer hearing, prayer answering God. There's an old hymn or an old chorus that says, he never will say, I'm too busy today. Every tear, every cure, he promised he will share. And although he's the Lord of all glory, yet he's only a prayer away. A prayer hearing, prayer answering God. He's a God of the big things. He answers prayer in the big things, health, family. He's a God of the wee things. A God who's interested in us day by day. So we have the request, David. He waited patiently. The result, he inclined unto him. He heard his cry. Verse 2. He brought me up also. Notice the little word also. It doesn't say he brought me up out of a horrible pit. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my going. The request, the result. Look at the rescue. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. You see, there's no pit too deep. Notice that it's a horrible pit. It's not just a pit. It's a horrible pit. Perhaps it was a pit of sin. He brought us all up into the pit of sin, didn't he? And maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're still in the pit of sin, by the way. You still don't know the Savior. We have a Savior who can bring you out. Out of the horrible pit, the pit of sin. It was a pit of suffering. It was a deep pit. It was a dangerous pit. Jeremiah, do you remember, he was in the pit. He brought me up also. It's the picture of resurrection. He brought me out of the horrible pit. Out of the horrible pit. He reached down and he put his hand down and he brought us out of the pit. Amazing, isn't it? Thinking this morning just of Peter. Do you remember Peter that night on the Sea of Galilee and the storm came? And those seasoned fishermen were even scared. They knew the Sea of Galilee inside out, every square inch of it. They knew it. They'd been on over half a wee lifetime. They'd walked on it. And Peter especially. Peter and Andrew, James, John, they were fishermen. And the great storm came. And do you remember that in the watch of the night, how they were afraid, and how the Lord came walking on the water, and how Peter, he got out of the boat, and for some reason everybody puts the boot on him, on Peter, for some reason. I mean, there was 12 men in the boat, and he was the only man had the nerve to get out, so that's not too hard on the big man. And so he gets out of the boat. And he begins to walk on the water. He knows the story. And he takes his eyes off the Savior. And then something unique happens. It says that he began to sink. And notice that. How do you begin to sink? When you're in Spain on your holidays, you're walking along the side of the pool under the concrete or the tiles. And if you step into the pool, you just sink. You don't begin to sink. So God was in it all. Peter, he begins to sink slowly. He begins to sink. God, the Lord Jesus, puts his hand out, Son of God, the carpenter's hand. He grabs the fisherman's hand. Peter shouts, Lord, save me. He pulls him out, brings him out. That's the picture. He brought me up also. Out of the horrible pit, the pit of sin, the pit of suffering. He's brought us out. And he's brought us out of the miry clay. The miry clay. Notice again, it's not just clay. Clay is a sticky substance. But miry clay is a greater description. It's stickier again. We do a lot of work outside. A lot of groundwork in our business. And when you go into a strip of field or a new site for something, for a building, a house or a job, and when you're doing it in the middle of summertime, it's a pleasure to do. And the boys are stripping it with the diggers and the soil is coming and it's lovely and dry. Something about it, by the way. But maybe that's just me. It's just what I like. And you're walking through it and it's nice and dry. The field's nice and dry and the site's nice and dry. It's dusty. But if you're out at this time of the year, it's different. You need the wallies on. And the clay is sticky. It's a miry clay. They talk in our country about a plugging match. You plug through it. And the psalmist said that he brought him out of the pit. And he brought him out of the miry clay. He came to us. Denver Wilson sings a lovely piece. He came to me. He came to me. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. There's a great old hymn, and we used to sing this in the Believer's Hymn Book. Starts, O blessed God, how kind are all thou is to me. And there's a verse and it says this, preserved by Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. Thy love is great and thy mercy free. But from the pit delivered me. brought me out of a horrible pit. Brought us up. Brought us out of the miry clay. Look at this. Redemption. He set my feet upon a rock. Set my feet upon a rock. Rock speaks of sureness. A rock speaks of stability. A rock speaks of soundness. He set my feet upon a rock. Now, I don't know very much about anything. I left school when I was 16 and a half. I couldn't wait to get away from it. And my mummy pleaded with me to stay at it. But I couldn't wait to get away. But I've learned more from my left school than I ever learned when I was at it. And I've more qualifications now than I ever had when I was at school. But that's another story. But there's one thing I do know a wee bit about. I know a wee bit about sand. And I know a wee bit about rock. Alright, so when you're measuring rock, rock's just not rock. To test rock, there's a sample piece got from the face of a quarry and it's broken into a particular shape and it's put in the vise in the lab. And then there's like a tester and this, I suppose the best way to describe it is almost like a pendulum of a clock and it comes down and it strikes the rock. And the strike is measured. And the strike is measured by kilonewton. And from that strike and from that kilonewton, you find it was called the PSV value of the rock, which means PSV, polished stone value. Probably doesn't interest you at all, but it interests me. PSV. And the measure of the strike tells us how firm a rock, how good a rock, how good the quality of the rock. Well, and you see, there's limestone rock, and it's crumbly. And then there's grey wacky. And then up in County Antrim, we use our blastic from, there's basalt, and there's County Londonderry, and so on. There's granite rock. But when Christ puts your feet upon the rock, it's the rock of the highest quality. It's a solid rock. David says, he set my feet upon the rock. Wasn't it Edward Moat, they called that man, who wrote that great hymn? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He brought me up. Our time's gone out of the horrible pit. The rescue. He set my feet upon a rock. That's the redemption. And he established my goal. Established my goal. What does that mean? It means he changed my life around. He took me out of the pit. He set my feet upon her. Oh, what a comparison. What a difference. Being in the pit, being in the miry clay, sinking where there's no standing. And he takes us out from her. And he sets us on the rock. Place of sureness, a place of stability, a place of soundness. That is what he's done for us, child of God, in Kilray this morning. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should stay for me? We have the request, we have the result, we have the rescue, we have the redemption. We need to finish. What about the rejoicing? He has put a new song in my mouth. A new song. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall thrust in the Lord. Notice the place of the song. He's put a song in our mouth. Notice the promise of the song. Praise unto, or the praise of the song is praise unto our God. And notice the promise and the purpose in the song. Many shall see it and shall fear. And shall trust in the Lord. You know, God's people have always been a people of song, haven't they? You know, when you think of the great songs of the Bible, when you think of Moses, when he crossed the Red Sea, do you remember? And they crossed it on dry land on that great day. And then the Pharaoh and his army and his chariots came. And as the last of the children of Israel as they come out of the land of Goshen in Egypt, when they put feet, their last feet, the last of them on the dry land, the sea closed. And what did they do? They sung a song, they sung a great song. God has triumphed graciously, isn't it? The horse and the riders are in the sea. Amazing, isn't it? Mariam led it to sing a great song. Sometimes I think about that song. Sometimes the song beside the water. I remember many years ago going out one night, one Saturday night, to make sure everything was locked up, and I heard, I thought it was a radio. And I walked around the yard, I thought a radio was on one of the lorries. And I walked around the mall and they were all locked up. And I couldn't find it. And I went to bed and I'd heard it. And a couple of days later I found out, we live right on the southern shore of Loch Ness, right at the water's edge. And I found out later on, a couple of days later, there had been a massive concert in Antrim Forum. And I suppose as the crow flies, it's only 10 or 12 miles. But the song, the music had come over, obviously, the water, the distance. And that's what I heard. And I often think about those, what is it, about 1.5 million people standing at the side of the Red Sea, singing the great song. And it going over, echoing over the face, the level of the Red Sea down in the land of Egypt. Amazing, isn't it? God's people have always been a people of song. Remember the night in the upper room when the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, do you remember when he came in to his disciples? Remember that, how they sung a song, how they sung a psalm, a hymn, before he went out. And of course, the great song of heaven. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood and made us kings and priests unto our God. People of song. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto your God. I wonder, do we sing the song? The song of the soul set free. We've put it into a mighty choir. Some of us aren't great singers, me included. I often say I have plenty of volume but no tune. Your pastor's a good singer. Thank God for him. But he's put a new song in our mouth. Child of God this morning. A new song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. And look at the purpose of it. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. I wonder, do we use the song? I wonder, do we use the song day by day in our lives? Our time's gone. Sorry. I'm going to have to stop. Verse 4, there's reliance. Blessed in the man that makes the Lord his trust. Look at these things, three things in the verse. Make the Lord your trust. Respect not the proud, or turn aside the lies. The Christian life, day by day. I wonder, do we trust? Is it trust of men? Do we trust the Lord? Make the Lord our trust? Or do we look to the Lord? Respect not the proud. Live our lives godly, not turn aside the lies, the proud people. Are we honourable in all that we do day by day? The reliance on the Saviour. As we finish this morning, what's the great lesson this morning? Learn to wait. Let's have a wee bit of patience. I'm speaking to my own heart more than anybody's this morning. Let's learn the lesson from David this morning. Let's wait patiently. In the trials, in the difficulties of life, day by day, things aren't easy. It's not easy, I know. Depend on him. Look to him. Trust in him. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Remember the hymn writer said, oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We are patiently the Lord. And when we do that, he'll hear our cry. He'll incline unto us and answer our prayer. May God bless his word to our hearts.